Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Friday. It is the 30th of April, 2021. I can't figure it out either, anybody. So if you have any insight on how this is actually working, please email us at observations@macobserver.com. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, because it is Friday, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here. Happy Friday.
It would be, except we're about to ruin it with Security Friday, because we have some real special stuff we need to talk about today. And first and foremost, we have a PSA for you about Mac OS.
Yeah, so you should update to Apple released Mac OS 11.3 on Monday, and you should update it as soon as possible because it has a pretty big security flaw in it. So it was discovered by researchers Cedric Owens and also security researcher Patrick Wardle, who we have mentioned before. Mm-hmm. He explained everything that was going on with this thing. So it basically just lets in some kind of an attacker bypass built-in Mac security protections. There are a couple of them, file quarantine and notarization. And it doesn't quite bypass Gatekeeper itself, but it prevents Gatekeeper from displaying a warning about the app. So that's interesting. It says it doesn't bypass Gatekeeper's malware detection tool X-Protect. Now, Gatekeeper is just a feature of macOS. I forget when Apple introduced it, but it scans any app plugin or installer from outside the App Store to make sure it comes from a verified developer. Mm-hmm. And these developers, this goes hand in hand with app notarization. These apps have to be notarized by Apple just to verify that they're free of malware and they haven't been altered in any kind of secret malicious way. Like the example I gave, like a data file that actually contains executable code. Yeah. And speaking of that, that is a proof of concept that Patrick Wardle created. Mm-hmm. So he shows how a file downloaded from the internet through, you know, Safari probably, yep, that looks for all intents and purposes as just an innocent PDF, but it contains code that can launch other things. In his example, he had it launch an app. I think it was Calculator.
Yeah, it launches the Calculator.
So that's obviously not bad, but if in bad guys' hands, they could do a whole lot more with that.
Yeah, bad guys aren't launching Calculator with this particular attack. So I'm going to jump in and point out Gatekeeper is a thing that was introduced at, that came out with Lion. That one I remember. Gatekeeper started with Lion. And the particular attack vector that this is exploiting happens both in Big Sur, because there's been changes and adjustments made to Gatekeeper over time and to notarization, mm-hmm, over time. And so the current issue only happens with Catalina and with Big Sur. So if you're on Big Sur, update to 11.3. I don't remember what the number is on the Catalina update, but there is one. And it's very serious, and it's a thing that's actively happening. I know a lot of times we talk to you about, this has been patched, you know, and we're telling you about it now, even though it's not going to actually affect you unless you have been very bad at updating. But this is one that is still out there and actually happening in the wild if you don't get this update. So absolutely, you know, if you're listening to this at lunch, kick off that update over lunch, and when you come back, your computer will be all updated and protected from this.
Yep. So next topic, Experian, they had some kind of a flaw in its API. I think it was found earlier this year. Krebs on Security wrote this up. Mm-hmm. And this flaw let anyone that had access to this API, it let basically anyone find the credit score of a person just by typing in their name and mailing address.
Fabulous.
And he writes that it's possible that, so first of all, Experian already plugged this, but the researcher who found this says he fears the same weakness may be present at countless other lending websites that also work with credit bureaus. So
wonderful. Once again, thanks, credit bureaus. Like, the whole point of you is to be reliable information. And when you're just handing my information out to other people, that's I believe that's what they call not great. I know what I would call it, but I don't want to have to edit the podcast today. So
we're not, and especially the bad part about this, it's not just looking up this information from one person at a time. So this person, I don't see who found this. Bill Demirkapi. He's a sophomore at the Rochester Institution of Technology. So he discovered this data exposure when he was shopping around for student loan vendors online. And so he was able to create a tool that could automate this type of data information lookup. So automation, that's a bad part of this.
Yeah. Spin up a machine to take care of this for you. That's fantastic. I'm super pleased about this one. And we talk about like data breaches and things like that a lot of times. I think the only thing we probably talk about more is passwords. And we have some password information to talk to you about today. One good news, one bad news. So we're bringing balance to the force. Right?
So the good news first. How about that?
Let's do that.
On Wednesday, password manager Dashlane introduced a more affordable subscription plan that is just $3.99 a month. And they call this the Dashlane Essentials Plan. They have this password changer that will log people into compatible websites. It can generate strong, unique passwords, and it can change the passwords. If maybe you did have your password included in a data breach, you can change the password with just one click. They also have a secure notes feature, which is great. Mm-hmm. And that lets you store any kind of other sensitive information that you had, like software keys or Wi-Fi passwords. Mm-hmm. So it's a really good plan for people.
Yeah. And I will point out for comparison, thank you, Dashlane, for introducing this. If you want to use one password, just yourself, only you, that's $2.99 a month. And one password families, which gives you five people and you can share vaults amongst those people, that comes out to be $4.99 a month. So this comes in right in between those. I'm glad about it. I'm glad to see more companies getting into the like low key subscription sort of thing to make this a very easy thing. I happily pay $3 a month to not have to type all those passwords all the time. It absolutely saves me $3 a month in billable time that I'm not having to type all that stuff in. So I'm happy about it. We also have, here comes the bad news. We started with the good news. There's a new option for you in our first piece of password news, to keep you from being part of the statistics in our second password piece of news.
Yeah, so this news comes from Bitwarden, who is another password manager we've talked about. In preparation for World Password Day, which is on May 6th, they surveyed some people, and there's some not great news when it comes to passwords and security. They say nearly two-thirds of the people they surveyed, I don't see the number of how many people were included in this. They say almost two-thirds of people, they still rely on their memory to recall their passwords. And if it's a password you can remember, in most cases, that's probably not going to be a good password, like password 123, for example. Mm-hmm. It says 60% of Americans have an average password length of 9 to 15 characters. Nearly half of Americans say they never share their passwords. And a majority of them, they never share their passwords at work. And Americans are more likely to use a password manager than the rest of the globe. So this is kind of a mixture of good news and bad news.
Yeah. I did like the piece that said there are people, like the people who are using their memory have to change their passwords several times a week. Yeah. Like, I have to go through password resets several times a week. Allow me to point you back to Dashlane Essentials for $4 a month, because then you don't have to. That makes it a very easy thing to keep track of.
And also, just because we're talking about pricing, Bitwarden does mention that it's free. There are some, they do have a subscription. It's $10 a year, which is, I think, rounds out to be cheaper than the other ones.
Absolutely.
So that's just another option to use.
Yeah. And that one was, you said that one was Bitwarden's?
Yep. This is Bitwarden.
Yeah. Okay. And we'll have a link to that in the show notes. And we talked to them about their password manager. And so one of the things that we always point out is, like, how do people make money? And the way Bitwarden makes money is they sell to companies and businesses, like plans, password management for teams. That's their primary source of income. So the reason they can do it personally for $10 a year is because that's not the primary financing, and they're not selling any of that data to anybody. So.
Yeah,
that makes it helpful. We have one last tidbit of information today involving everyone's favorite government agency, the IRS.
So this was written up by Vice News. It sounds like the IRS is asking for help to try to hack into hardware cryptocurrency wallets in the case of a criminal investigation. It sounds like they put out a job post earlier in May. And so what a cryptocurrency wallet is, as the name wallet suggests, it can store your cryptocurrency. There are a whole bunch of different kinds to use. And specifically in this case, not only they're not asking for hacking into one wallet, they want something that is some kind of a solution where they can hack into these crypto wallets in future investigations as well.
Wonderful. That's what we like to do. Although I do have to admit, I do feel like we've reported this story before.
just in a different form.
It might have been a slightly different agency. Because we've heard a lot of the government wants into the thing. And the government and the answer tends to be, well, no. We will see how this turns out. So far, they've just been asking, right? They have not received any assistance with this. They just want somebody to come help them bust into this stuff.
And a quote at the end that they shared, I really liked. It's from Nicholas Weaver. They say he's a senior researcher at the International Computer Science Institute at UC Berkeley. And he says, this kind of seems like overkill, trying to break into devices. An easier way, he says, for most of these devices, a choice of either give us the password or rot in jail for contempt might be sufficient.
I think for a lot of folks, that would be a compelling offer. You have two choices. You can cough up the password, or you can chill in this jail cell until you cough up the password. Which do you prefer? That does seem like a much easier way to go about this for most cases, I think. And this is where we as Security Friday trot out another old favorite, which is, if you build a door so anybody can get in, then anybody can get in. None of this stuff ever ends up just being in the hands of the good guys, or just being in the hands of the government, or just being in the hands of the person who wants to do the right thing. As soon as it exists, it's there for everyone. So that's the part to keep in mind. I think that's going to do it for us today. We have no Facebook news today, so I'm trying to end on a positive note. we don't have anything to tell you about Facebook. I'm sure that will change. But we don't have anything as of now, to tell you about Facebook. So that's going to do it for us today. Andrew, thanks so much for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and have a good weekend, everyone.
Indeed. I'm your host, Kelly Gamott. I will talk to all of you Monday. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.